Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Six down, one to go, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England are only in the final, you slags. It's Thursday, 8th of July. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
I will not have that, Marcus. You explained the time signature and it was 4-4 and we just went for it.
We went for it,
and then
baby.
You made it quicker.
Yes.
I need you to update the time signature at the start of the stave, please.
You see, I was watching you, and then I was watching Pete's fingers, which you don't really want to do that often. It all turned out okay.
Watch me for the changes, Andy.
When something's good, it's never gone, gentlemen. Come on. Bloody come on.
I am genuinely.
Did you get up to anything last night?
Marcus, I am genuinely trying to stifle putting my arms in the air walking down the street. I'm genuinely sort of like having to put my hands in my pockets because I'm so excited.
Peter, this is just remarkable. Come here and kiss me. Oh, dearie me.
God, that was good. I was like Silicon Valley entrepreneur on a meditation retreat in Malaysia. Levels of zen about that whole
really?
Performance. Yeah. Even when they were chasing,
yeah,
a goal,
yeah.
Even when they were behind, even when they scored the free kick. I was like, England looks so composed.
Yeah.
What is happening to this England? I've never been in this situation before where I'm watching a football team that I love and support. I've never been in this situation and they've looked so composed and relaxed. I've never been more confident. If they went out at that point, I was like, for the first time, I could actually say it. That was legitimately unlucky. We say unlucky all the time. Oh, they're unlucky to not win that. We're lucky not to go through. Mm. Unlucky to go out. Bullshit. This is the first time we've ever looked like we wouldn't have been unlucky. Like we would have been unlucky if we went out. It's an incredible performance.
Sweet Donaldson. No, mate, you're absolutely... I mean,
semi-final. The fluidity of the team, the fluidity of the players in the front line at the end of the match, at the end of 120 minutes. Mm. I've never seen anything like
it. It's funny actually. Is when your wife like texts you and go, "They played that out really calmly, didn't they?" It's like, yeah,
they really did.
I mean, I have to say that the only time I was concerned was the VAR review for the penalty. Even in the ground, I was at the game, ladies and gentlemen, and even then, I remember it went down, and I was like, "That's soft. That will be overturned."
Right,
but you see, you needed the calming voice of Peter Walton and saying, "Unless it's clear and obvious error, they're not going to overturn."
Peter Walton, the ITV.
Big Pete was right.
Big
Pete was right.
Yeah. Big Pig. Who's the Big Pig? Big floating pig. Peter Frampton's big floating pig.
He's not going to break with protocol much, is he, old Peter Walton, is he? You know what I mean? He's not going to say, "Well, the referee's absolute disgrace." They should get him out a few...
Possibly not.
No, exactly. Yeah, gentlemen, it's... I do wonder... Do you know what, though? All kind of razzmatazz aside, like... If I'm going to be... I do feel for Denmark, because if that goes against you, that decision for the penalty, you're furious. But what was your take?
You know, I feel like that's the first analysis we've had of it, because like every co-commentator, Lee Dixon, all the analysts I've heard, a lot of the journalists I've heard have been, "I don't care." can I just say, as someone who for a very long time has said that simulation or soft penalties or whatever, it's not the end of the world. I've been consistent with it.
You have, Andy, which is why I've come
and
to
that,
you.
That is why I'm saying I don't care.
I mean, the
either.
Thing is, you know, if it happens up the other end and England, we're sitting here and Denmark 1-2, like you're furious, and I understand but that from Denmark's point of view.
The thing is, it's marginal, it's generous. I wouldn't say it's heinous.
No,
yeah. And I think that's maybe what Peter Walton was actually
and the first, you know, there were two touches, there were two phases. The first phase, he does get touched, he feels the touch, he starts to go down. Mm-hmm. Then the second touch,
that one's in the bag.
I can't say that one.
The second one, and the second touch probably would have been a penalty if he hadn't already started going down. So, in my opinion,
which
is the one that matters, not Peter Walton's, Peter Donaldson's.
Yep.
Peter.
Yeah, I'm Peter.
It's fine. We'll
it's
take
a Peter's
it.
Union. Yeah, right. Yeah. But I just think that in the world of VAR, unless you go down, there has been plenty of situations where when that player does not go down and no decision is needed. Mm. You force the referee into making a decision and you force VAR to check that decision.
Yep.
And well done. Well done!
I tell you what, when Harry Kane stepped up, I thought, if he misses this, what will happen is he'll miss and we'll go, "Oh no, like what a chance." The game will go to penalties and it'll be like, "Oh no, they've got the psychological advantage."
Right.
And then he missed and I was like, he hasn't held it. Well, that's a bit of... Yeah!
we gave Kasper a chance.
Gave him a chance.
Gave him a chance. Profit, but like, give him a little chance.
Kasper Schmeichel this morning, what a game he had. And that penalty, the funny thing was, one could say that, I wouldn't say he should have held on to it because it's just a penalty and, you know, any kind of within reason save is decent. And it comes in, but because it was a fairly bad penalty as they go, if it was more in the corner, you'd probably pushed it wide for a corner.
Yeah.
Whereas
it was
actually quite bad.
It was a poor penalty.
Exactly, it came back to him. It was actually quite fortunate.
You can just say at this point it's a 1-2.
Yes. But you can't play a 1-2 with a post, of course, for a penalty.
No.
I'll tell you what, lads,
that was so good. And look, Denmark have had to do all the travelling.
Yeah,
they've obviously had the most ridiculous, unspeakable setback you can imagine.
Yeah.
Losing their first two games and for obvious reasons why they lost the first one. They've got to a situation. But
that's the satisfaction, isn't it? That Denmark were really good, I thought, on the night. I thought if they went back and did it again, I don't know really what they would do differently.
Made five subs in the match, I would say, because that really messed them up for extra time, I fear. And and the manager could complain about the penalty or the extra ball on the pitch. Remember, there was an extra ball as well. Which is, you know, obviously they've got a bit of a case there. But look, you made some funny substitutions and you got into a situation where you've taken Dahlberg off, and I understand why he did it, but it just seemed...
Well, they finished the game with 10 men.
Because
the last few minutes, I actually didn't notice this. It was only after the match when talking about it and so on. But the last few minutes, or 5 minutes, maybe something like that, they finished with 10 men because they were just dead on their feet. Sorry, Andy, you were going to say.
what Pete was saying about England being in control or having a level of control, a level of calm, I think is what it's about.
We've talked a lot about that word control.
But I think even in the first half where they had that dodgy spell and maybe Denmark were better for 20 minutes, I think, you know, that people talked a lot about how England would react once they conceded.
Well, they reacted very well.
They reacted very well. And I think as well, in your mind, you can kind of square... The Damsgaard goal is not quite an act of God, but it's not far off.
That dip was like, people are sort of complaining that a keeper possibly could
have given it. No one's saving that.
Absolute dipping shot like that.
I would say,
at
look,
speed.
Yeah, that takes away from the strike, and it's the first direct free kick in the tournament.
But that's the same.
Donnarumma saves that, but he is probably the best keeper in the world.
I don't think so. I don't think so, because there's dip, there's swerve. Uh-huh. And I think if Pickford makes that save, which is, what, maybe two fingers across, it's the save of the tournament. So I think it's if you get a feather of a finger on a free kick, people say you should have saved it, and I don't think that's always the case.
Feather finger Frankie did it. I don't know who he is. Old feather finger Frankie.
What about Frankie four fingers? Didn't you mug him off?
What?
the old London gangster.
Oh, Frankie Fraser. Yeah.
Where am I getting fingers from? Sorry.
Where are you getting fingers from, Marcus?
He's from Snatch. Frankie Four Fingers.
Someone get me some chocolate fingers in here. Crying out loud.
Marcus is very tired.
I've barely slept.
If Marcus was a drinker, the narrative would be fine. But because he's not, we sort of go, suspicious?
And maybe he just had like two packets of extra strong mints on the tube because he likes them.
I hate mint. It belongs on toothpaste and toothpaste alone.
Oh, really? Right. Yeah. Is that the only place you have mint? What about lamb? Would you have a lamb?
Oh, okay. Bit so there's
sauce,
a few.
Right, okay.
Except for this morning. It's an emergency.
It's an emergency.
Yeah. The lamb kebab was not there. There was no mint sauce there. But I mean, you're right. England responded very well going a goal down. And that was the...
Brilliant.
Italy said this against Austria when they were a bit like, we're glad we conceded. We're glad it sort of happened. And I know in one sense, that's sort of an odd thing to say, but in another sense, you sort of get it.
I do kind of get that, yeah.
And England, there was this kind of, ooh, but if you go a goal behind, what's going to happen?
But that's it. And we've talked a lot about control and game management and all that sort of stuff during the tournament. But the fact is, having a level of control is not about always being on top of the game. It's about being able to react to setbacks, I think. And the way that England played, they had enough to step it up at the moments they needed to.
Yeah.
And England, we've said it before in this tournament, have been traditionally so bad about keeping that little bit in reserve.
Yeah.
But that's why you feel that calmness, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and they were behind for 9 minutes. And in fact, really, it should have only been about seven because Sterling probably should have scored that chance.
Yeah.
But, I know he didn't score the goal. It was an own goal. We sort of make amends. But that cut
I mean, back... if you don't want to be compared to your dad, don't make that save. Yes. Because it was a full handball.
Yeah. When are you going to be your own man, Kasper?
Well, Nick,
I don't care if you've won the Prem with Leicester and the FA Cup and all the rest of it.
Well, Nicky Mandini sort of said on Twitter that there's an argument to say, he has become a more capable goalkeeper than his dad. And the shapes...
He
was prodigious. He was prodigious in his performances for Manchester United and his... The way he saved was very different to the keepers of the time.
Yep.
Big hands, kind of like one-on-one. Mm. You always backed Peter Schmeichel to save it.
Yep.
And with Kasper, like if he was playing for a slightly better team, you would sort of he would be in that bracket for me. I think there was an argument to say that he's better than his father.
He's certainly in the same bracket, you could say. I mean,
he's an inch shorter.
Is he? Do you know if
that counts for a lot? I think
that's an awful lot. But but he, I mean, he had a great game, Kasper Schmeichel. I thought he should probably Harry Kane, according to the in the stadium, Harry Kane was given man of the match. I thought you could have given it to Kasper Schmeichel.
Definitely.
I mean, the save against Harry Maguire, the way he claws it out, and it's not just. It's the manner of how he gets there and makes...
That is an incredible save.
It is an incredible save because you look at the replays and you can sort of think, oh, it was fairly calm because he gets almost like a whole hand on the ball. But actually, it's the positioning.
He gets a long, long way across.
He does, exactly, yeah. And in oddly, it is that kind of sort of slightly paradoxical thing of, you know, skill is to make the maximum efficiency with minimum effort, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Schmeichel, because he's so good... He almost kind of that almost sort of suggests that the save was easier than what it was. If you see
but
what I mean.
That's the thing. I think we can have this idea that you know England chipped away at it because of the manner of the winning goal, because of the chronology of the winning goal.
Yeah.
But actually, one of the things I saw this morning is that Kasper Schmeichel equaled the record for the number of saves made by a Dane in. A championship finals game.
Really?
And I think the other one, obviously, was his dad in, I think, 1998 against France.
Right.
And obviously, I'm not saying what France did in 1998. Look it up, kids, if you want to know.
That was in the group, though.
Yeah.
I mean, also, we're talking about records. Pickford, he beat Gordon Banks' record for most consecutive minutes without conceding for England by 1 minute.
Just all he needed.
Line. Just got over the line. But
do you reckon he was like texting someone to say, look, this is me at Wembley Stadium, just beating Gordon Banks' record. Oh, shit, it comes on.
little word to the wise. Get the rave on. Okay. actually, turn it off for the moment.
But it's funny. He had his... big wobble in the first half.
Looked shaky.
Where he had those that bad distribution.
Oh my god, his distribution was all over.
It felt like old Jordan Pickford.
Yes,
but then
Kyle Walker had to have a bloody good talking to him.
Right. And
Walker's got that in him as well.
Yeah, always does.
Look, I'm on your level here, pal. I'm speaking.
We're both fuck ups. Yeah.
But we're in this together.
When he gets to the back end of it. He emits this sort of calmness that you don't really expect of him.
I mean,
it's like obviously Denmark didn't have a lot of chances in the back end of the game in extra time.
We didn't have many chances at all.
There's that one from Brathwaite from the edge of the box when it's 2-1 and it's probably going wide.
Yeah,
but he's just super sure and pushes it wide anyway, which I think you want to.
No,
wanna
I thought
see.
That, was, yeah.
And that feels like secure other side of.
I know what you
Jordan
mean. I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, England, you know, as we say, this kind of, how do they respond when they go down and so on? They showed character. But I think last night's game, as you mentioned, Pete, how many semi-finals, how many there? It's just get through the game, for crying out loud. We saw the Italians against Spain. It's Spain with the better side. Now, I understand that Italy never got a decision like England did to sort of help them and whatnot. So I know it's not quite the same.
But England were objectively better.
Exactly.
In winning their semi-final.
It is a case of getting through the game.
Yeah.
But it's the first time England have won after falling behind a knockout game since 1990. There's a lot of these, some of them more specific than other sort of
first
stats.
First time they've had a current Newcastle United coach on the staff.
Exactly. and it, you know, that's there's another one. So, but what about Bukayo Saka? Started the game. He would probably start the final, wouldn't you say, Pete?
On a unicorn, Marcus.
But the way he gives, you know, he's good defensively. He can settle back in there.
That's huge in this team.
It is, and that's probably why he plays instead of Sancho.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Because Sancho against Ukraine, you can play him there. And also, you want to see Sancho and you want everybody to be included. You've got options there. I mean, I thought Phil Foden's tournament, I wouldn't have thought we would maybe see him again, but he came on and showed.
I mean, imagine bringing Phil Foden on.
Yeah, no,
it's a bit of a flex, isn't it?
That is funny. And when has England ever been able to do that before? Funny. I was laughing.
He showed some lovely touches, both feet and kept the ball and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, Henderson came on as well. And Grealish came on, didn't have perhaps the impact, but again,
I thought he made a difference, actually.
He did make a little bit of a difference, and then he was subbed off. That was pure tactical, as anyone could see, and obviously Southgate confirmed that as well. But, you know, England, it was interesting at half-time and extra time, where they thought, right, 3-4-3, let's consolidate this. And I thought to myself, with all the kind of possession England have got going forward, if they don't get through this, If it's not now, then when, essentially? But that sort of 53-pass move at the end of the game, yes, Denmark, I'm pretty sure they were down to 10 men at that time. But there was a moment where England kept the ball for about 2.5 minutes and probably could have...
probably could have twisted the knife, yeah.
Yeah,
Sterling going forward, like swarming forward 120 minutes in, like a big svelte bee, just I'm just going to drive... Oh yeah, it's near the end of the match. We'll just go to the corner flag. But like, he will need his minutes managed in the final. I think it's going to be interesting how he's going to be. But
Sterling to have that in the tank still.
It's incredible.
Has he done enough to prove the doubt is wrong at this tournament? Do you know
he has been stupefying.
Yeah, Sterling was great. For me,
when we're talking about men of the match, he was England's man of the match. And I think comfortably.
Sterling is one. Kane was good as well.
Kane can get fucked on the first.
Roy Keane. Yeah. Sorry. poor old Michael Keane suffered enough not being there. But Kane was great. You know, the way he did, what was nice as well is for the first England goal, obviously, the way, you know, sort of the back of the goal slipping in the winger, which he's so good at doing. Mm. And it was a lovely goal from England's point of view.
But later on, what he did in terms of running the channels, drawing fouls.
Showed you the energy that he's kept because he didn't go full throttle earlier on the tournament.
Yeah, and also, I think hopefully it finally puts to bed this stuff about he should just stay in the middle and take the chances. Mm. He's so valuable to the team all around.
Yeah.
No, completely agree. Gentlemen, let's just have a quick break, a little breather, and then we can maybe talk a little bit more about England. Before we do, though, obviously England, they will be facing Italy on Sunday. And who better to discuss that than Nicky Bandini on today's On the Continent? Andy, tell us what you're going to be talking about today.
Well, we might mention the Euro 2020 final.
Maybe.
We'll see. As the chronology and
see if you can fit it in.
The correct guest has fallen into place. It'd be really interesting to hear Nicky's take on that. Also, we'll be talking about our best moments from Euro 2020 because there've been a lot more than any of us dared hope for. And a bit of club news as well, of course, with Sergio Ramos signing on the dotted line for Paris Saint-Germain.
He has signed, hasn't he? Because didn't they pre-announce it and then they had to take it off the website and all that sort of stuff?
But it's happened. Who knew that stuff like that was pre-recorded and not live? Not me.
Love that. All right, everybody. Just have a little breather.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Good morning, Glenn!
Tell us something your mum doesn't know.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you haven't seen that clip, I don't know how you search for it.
It's on our football. Oh, ramble. Just go on the football ramble Twitter.
Just scroll through.
It's a man a pissed up young lad coming on England, so to speak, and he's handed a microphone by some Aussie reporter, and he just jams his mouth around it.
It's quite impressive.
And then he's enjoyed it so much, and he tries to sort of settle himself. Deliver an answer to the guy's question, mm-hmm. and then he just panics and just goes, "Nah, this is happening.
I'll have another go.
The inevitability. I'm going to chomp on this mic again because I've got nothing to say. I'm drunk. I'm having a nice time.
I'm having a second bite at the cherry.
Oh God, he gives me health. that boy gives me. He's probably an estate agent now or something. I don't know. He's probably doing something very different. But wow,
my goodness. Right, everybody,
love it.
Time for emails.
Press the button.
Tickle your ivories.
Football ramble.
It's a pretty good place to start.
Football ramble.
But it just sounds a bit gimmicky.
But I think it's exciting ramble.
Football ramble.
Phil Neville.
He confused testicles with balls.
Very rarely does it all go completely silent because no one knows what to say.
Where does this rank? Is it above or below punching the punching of the horse?
They thought to themselves, old Fizzer knows his onions.
Personally, I think it's a bit of a silly one.
You got email.
Well done.
Football ramble.
The home of Willy Waver.
You got email.
Tune in this time next week to hear it again.
Don't play it again. The home of Willy Waving, apparently.
I love Jurassic 5. Kevin Raitt's got in touch. Possibly a Bonnie Raitt, you don't know. As a reverse Marcus, I moved down from the north of Scotland to Royal Tunbridge Wells as a 9-year-old. I'm a football fan first. Then Scotland, then Aberdeen. Having this shit ripped and occasionally kicked out of me as a kid, I've always been a bit chippy when it comes to England. There's always been an easy target to hate with them too. Always a couple of bell ends to justify the will for them to lose. For the first time in my life, though, I'm struggling to find any of them I genuinely dislike. The manager is a more coherent orator than the PM. The punchbag for the press, Sterling, has worked his socks off to prove the doubters wrong to become world-class whilst helping those from his local area. The captain exudes coolness with his taking of the knee and rainbow armband. All of them are so fucking annoyingly wholesome.
Is Jack Grealish wholesome?
Please. Well, I think he's an echo of like yesteryear a little bit. He's that kind of totemic kind of footballer that everybody wants to get on the field, and he's clearly hungry for it and a bit pissed off.
Do you remember those photos in the tabloids of him in the dressing gown when it was proper lockdown?
Love it.
Yeah, okay.
Don't have a problem with it.
Carl Walker as well.
There was a lovely picture of him and I think Saka leaning on the vinyl coverings of the chairs.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly talking to relatives, but I think we all know it looked like absolute 100% chirpsing. Vish put on his Instagram. Please bring back some shit bags to help fellow Scots like me find an easy target to target our hate at. Well done for getting to the final. I'm torn. I kind of want Italy to win to stop the moronic fans bragging, including the government with their duplicate moaning about the knee and cheering them on in England shirts, and genuinely wanting the win for my English-born football mad kids. Ah, damn you, Gareth, and your wholesome fucking football revolution.
fair play.
Do you know how I feel sorry for the Tory MP Lee Anderson, who of course boycotted the Euros because of the kneeling of the
one of
the
worthy
players.
Boycott.
Worthy.
Yeah. How are you getting on with that, Lee? Apparently, he said, "I'm going to watch the final. I've still made the right decision. I am the right side of history, and I will prove you all wrong."
I hope he rolls his ankle.
And then falls back onto the actual right side of history. Yeah.
We've got one from Graham Bingham here. Surely beating Denmark and ruining the ultimate fairy tale makes England the true enemies of football on a Rod Fanny level.
Another Scotsman.
Yeah. It is a little bit difficult because of everything that Denmark went through. And they did do a lot of travelling.
They did.
They also went past their expectations, and it will still be a tournament. You know, with England have been there before on numerous occasions. Mm-hmm. You can take a lot positive out of a tournament without winning it, and you know, there's only one team that wins it.
I think the manner of the penalty, it will be quite bitter for them, even though they were. I mean, Peter Schmeichel said himself that if England had scored one of the chances they created or had gone on to, in the second half, like just Denmark were tired and England and beating them, he said, you know, fair enough. But of course, he said the manner of the defeat with the penalty says it is a bit of a bitter one to take. All these things, of course, can exist. You know, England were the better side. Would they have gone on to win the game had the penalty not been given? I mean, you just don't know. It's a pointless conversation. So, yes, obviously they had a bit of luck, but at the same time, you know, it was considering the circumstances, considering how England's past, there was a lot of pressure on this game. They got through it. And do you know what, actually? But being in Wembley, like, I mean, it was mad. The pre-match on the sort of the concourse, is it, you know, where you buy your hot dogs all around there?
Yeah.
It was like Saturday. It's just like, yeah, it's like the end of the last days of Rome in there. Like, it was mad. Like, it was glorious madness. Like, there was such a good feeling. Everyone just going crazy. It was, honestly, I've never seen anything like that before. And in the stadium before the game, and I did think to myself, come on, lads, let's sing these songs after a victory here, please, because if we go home tonight losing, it'd be bad.
No, but you know what? It goes back to what Jim was saying yesterday about enjoying
true.
The moment.
And I think
I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, especially with the year, or more than a year, that everybody's had, of course, and it's not just this country. But
I mean, that has been the best thing about the Euros.
Yeah, but I wonder, though, Andy, with this semi-final, because, you know, the players... Southgate and the FA, or, you know, everyone involved, do try and keep the players in that bubble away from the media, away from what everybody's saying. But nowadays, it's extremely difficult. And of course, you're aware of the narratives. Yes, they may not be aware of certain results that happened in 1990, or certain moments that happened in the 1982, or whatever it may be. But they're aware that England have got to one final in their history. And everyone knows this kind of stuff. And I think that there was a bit of pressure coming back from Rome and everybody there. I think, yes, the crowd can help you, but there is that huge expectation of, we can't let this lot down.
And there's a significant step up as well in the fact that Denmark were everything that Ukraine weren't.
Exactly.
In the last round.
So there's a lot
as well. So they're maybe not the biggest name opponent, maybe not a Germany or an Italy.
Yes.
But I think that's what England have been great at the whole way through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did that quite well against Germany. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that, you know, English football, or England football, has a massive psychological block against Germany. Maybe sure. not anymore. But I felt that was very much the fans and the media's thing, not the players' thing.
Absolutely.
The players did manage to play the game rather than the occasion.
Yeah, because if you look at the results against Germany, I mean, like I say, for me, the whole sort of German thing, the big release was in 2001 when we beat them 5-1 in the qualifier.
And then 2000 in Shawa.
Yeah, that was a good one as well.
That was two bold men fighting over a comb, but it was still enjoyable.
Yeah, but we got the comb.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, where's your comb, Germany?
Yeah, exactly. We'll give the comb to whom we please. And if we want to keep it in case we sprout hair, then we've got it.
Yeah, and if we'd have beaten Romania as well, we'd have got the thickening shampoo as well.
That would be great. But of course, you know, without going on about Germany, but I think, yes, the media and some of the fans obviously were trying to put that on the players, and I think the players are a bit like, whatever. Whereas actually this semi-final, I think the players, they knew it. And it was a huge hurdle. There was ever so slight concern that you don't want the celebrations to be too much. Because, you know, again, if you're Italy, you're thinking, brilliant, extra time, that's, you know, a little bit of tiredness in the legs, that's what you want. But if you're Mancini, he would probably say, and I said this, that what Ukraine would say after the Germany game, but obviously totally different thing. But Mancini would go, look, that was their final, that he could say. Look at the celebrations.
Hang on. The way the Italians celebrated on Tuesday night was the same as England.
Right, okay.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Celebrate getting to a final,
especially
after everything they've been through. You know, you can talk about Italy's illustrious history. They didn't qualify for the last World Cup.
Yeah.
For them, it has been a steep climb as well. And it's been similar in a way, because they've done that thing of winning back public affection through like a positive, inclusive way of doing things
and
making everyone feel involved.
The way that, you know, in a frequently sort of cynical, frequently horrific country for a lot of people, this England team they're important.
They are.
They're dignified. They are modest. They deserve every accolade.
Progressive.
They've all been progressive. They were always progressive, but understand. They are comfortable talking about it now.
Yeah.
And I think that and I think that's so important. And they've already won it for me. Like from what the prism in which I view an England team, they've already won it for me.
It's going to stay in your mind forever. This
has been a gift.
Yeah.
And you know, as a Newcastle supporter, is watching it and going, oh, is this how like good football teams? Is that what a good football team is like? It's like, wow, they play amazingly and they seem like stand-up guys as well.
Well,
wow.
I think that's it. I think the one thing that I've noticed, and I don't want to go too much on this because there's
Gareth Rashi.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done, of course, and these issues, you know. But one thing I have noticed, actually, certainly in the stadium last night, there was a lot more people, there's a lot more women there. and there was a lot more non-white people there. Mm. And you think to yourself, you know, the people are responding to this team, and people can say,
this has been a Southgate legacy for a while. I think you look at the crowds that came to, we kind of touched on it yesterday, that came to the Nations League games. Mm.
The home games in the...
Yeah, like in the group, so against Spain and Croatia directly after the World Cup.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still think we have this thing that, you know, if you include families mm-hmm. and include different people who don't traditionally come to football, then it somehow dilutes the atmosphere.
No.
Some people still have that in their mind. That's been proved to be nonsense.
Well, last night... I mean, look, again...
Over the Southgate era, yeah. It has been proved to be mm-hmm. incorrect for yeah. a long time. And yeah. it's a huge... asset to England.
We can't forget the booing. We can't forget the songs, and we can't forget the racism.
It's but you have to. Regrettably, it just seems. I don't want to go on about this, but regrettably, it just seems that kind of stuff. It tends not to have a full stop like we want it to. It tends to need to sort of fizzle out, and if you see what I mean, or phase out. But I think you know we're in a much better place. But there's such a good feeling around this England side. And I mean, even, you know, even the email there from Kevin Raitt or whatever his name was. Mm. Forgive me, Kevin. It's about seizing the moment, and England have got to the final. And before the Germany game, I remember thinking, we've got to get to the final here because we just have to beat Germany. It was similar to the game against Colombia in Russia 2018, where I thought we have to win this because I know football, you know. You can argue that every moment in life is a sliding doors moment if you want to get a bit sort of pedantic about it. But that game against that penalty shootout against Colombia, it's like if England lose this, there'll be calls for Southgate to go, the work will be undone and so on. It was so crucial that England went through because if they did, it opens up the thing. It opens up the pathway and you think, get to the semi-final because that's progression. And even though getting to semi-final, it was a shame. I thought France would beat whoever, of course, and they did. That was progression, even though we wanted a little bit more. This time around, it was like, Germany are there, it's at home, and they're there for the taking. And England took them, and then you go, right, now you've got to get to the final. Luke was saying that as well before. He was saying, there's, say, no excuse. Obviously, it's a football game, it's a game of football, and things can happen. But really, you've got to get to that final to show progression. And England have shown progression. Now, of course, there is a final to be played. We don't want to start going, yeah, that's their lovely old job. And whatever, you get beat 4-0 off Italy in the final, you're going to be pissed off. But and of course, if England lose in sort of tragic circumstances in terms of, you know, a penalty shootout, it will hurt. But the fact is they have got to a final for the first time in 55 years. There has been progression in this tournament. There's no doubt about that. But it's now right. Let's go and win it now.
Yeah, the process is good, but you need results to validate.
Which is what Southgate has said all along, and absolutely. He's absolutely spot on.
But I still think, yeah, that the final above all is there to be enjoyed. Like, okay, the players have got to lock in and win it, but as supporters, as a football public, I think it is there to be enjoyed. And
slightly? Because the semi-final again seemed to be that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
And when I say glass ceiling, let's be honest, it's not like we've been in loads of semi-finals as England. You know, obviously, recently the Russia World Cup, and we'll chuck in the UEFA Nations League as well.
Yeah.
And before that, it was 1990, so it was a long, long time. So again, this idea that, oh, we constantly get into semi-finals, you know, we can't get past them. But clearly the record was there, that there was a sort of a bit of a bit of a barrier. And so to punch through that, I felt for the fans last night, again, the scenes of celebration. There was that barrier, the perceived barrier, whether it was true or not, perceived one against Germany. You go through that. And then the semi-final, it's like, bloody hell. But we're going to watch everyone in that stadium, maybe apart from a very few people, I don't know, but the vast majority, if not everybody in that stadium, will not have seen England play in a final.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? And I think Southgate has set the tone, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch in the whole tournament. I thought what was quite interesting, and what's been noted in several other European countries where they're watching with interest what England are doing, the fact that Southgate came to the fans and gave it
Tim
Henman
Tiger Tim,
and that was nice. That signaled that yes, we can enjoy it. You know, we are methodical, we're doing things in the right way, we are confident that we can go to the final and play a smart match like we've played in every game of this tournament so far and take it all the way. But let's enjoy it while we're doing it.
Let's bloody enjoy it, Peter. You're enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it. I'm on the UEFA waiting.
Are you on the portal?
Waiting room on the portal. 8 minutes 47 seconds.
Only on 8 minutes 47 seconds until you get a ticket. That's exciting.
I turned it on when we started the show. there's ones on eBay. Two Cat 2 England tickets. $7,500 currently going for. Right. So enjoy. Whoever's going to pick those up.
You're not getting mine off me. I'll tell you what though, talking of enjoyment, there was a group of lads on Olympic Way, or Wembley Way as it's nicknamed still, and Luke was at the game last night. We bumped into each other on Wembley Way, and there was a group of lads and we gave them a little bit of an easy, so well done lads, enjoyed that. Enjoyed that. Oh my goodness. But yeah,
that was after, right?
That was after, yeah. never do a pre-match easy. But what was quite an odd thing going to Wembley last night, because every time I've been to Wembley, because I didn't go to those UEFA Nations League games, because there was a little bit of something on there, especially the Croatia one, actually. I think it was quite a good atmosphere and it meant a little bit of something.
Yeah, to beat Croatia after the World Cup semi-final.
Yeah, yeah. And also I think, there was that tournament was marketed quite well at the time, and people were like, well, let's just win something, you know. Obviously they didn't, but that was the feeling. But
well, it's been a huge thing. I think to have something to play for. If England come out of World Cup 2018... Mm. And go into
the usual
a load of friendlies.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
No, I agree.
That period, in terms of the feeling around the team, is massively important to them getting to the point that they are now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Important. I agree with that. But what was odd going to Wembley last night is the vast majority of times I've been there, it's for qualifiers that England are expected to win. Then always work out. But even if like Pete, we saw it and draw 0-0 with Montenegro. I mean, that seems like a lifetime ago now. It probably was about 7 or 8 years ago, or whenever it was. But even if they draw and it is a sloppy result, there's not that much jeopardy. You think, okay, well, they'll still probably manage to qualify. I mean, we haven't seen England in a playoff for a tournament since the one against Scotland in 99. And then there's the friendlies that you go and watch. Some of them are drab. Most of them are drab. You get the odd one that has a tiny little bit of spice in, and you think, okay. But to go to Wembley and it genuinely matter was quite odd. It was a wonderfully unique and welcome experience. I mean, of course, those who went to the Germany game and maybe some of the group games to a lesser extent would have felt that. But to go there and just be like, this is a semi final.
I would have taken a final in Le Tournoi at Parc des Princes. I would have went.
Yeah, but it was no final. It was no knockout, though, was it? It was a league format, which we won, Andy.
That's what I would have taken.
So there we are. There we are. Well, we're looking forward to Sunday. We do have shows in between now and then, but I think we should...
Are you not going for a sleep between now and then?
I will need to at some point.
I couldn't sleep last night. I was so excited. I was really vibed.
Do you know what's really... I had this sort of slight ringing in my ear when I went to bed, and I was like,
really?
That's not been... My brain suppressed that for the last 2 hours, and suddenly it's come up. But yeah, my goodness.
You just put your head on the pillow, did you? And then just like all the noise stopped, and all of a sudden you had... It's fucking coming home.
I just lay back and thought of England, Andy. Oh, dearie me. Well, if you're enjoying our Euros content, do head over to our Patreon, particularly because on Friday at 5 p.m. British time, we will be doing a live Q&A all about the Euros. So get involved by heading to patreon.com/footballramble. And on tomorrow's show, I'm back with Andy, and it's Jim. He'll have his little say, won't he? I bet Jim's still out. You know what he's like? Dirty little stuff.
100%.
Yeah. If you see Jim, tell him to go home. So there we are. All right then, everybody. England are in the final. Plenty of time to talk more about that in the coming days, of course, but we're bloody looking forward to Sunday. Thank you very much, Andy Brown.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you, Gareth Southgate. Thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Come on, England!
Can you tell us something your mother doesn't know?
He goes...
he agrees, he sort of goes... Yeah. It's the agreement.
I love him so much.
It's the agreement. Can you tell us something your mother doesn't know? Yeah. Do you know what?
I'm going to do it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.